You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here is your host, Steve Blair.
And welcome to another edition of the Rink, New York Rangers postgame podcast versus the Minnesota Wild. The New York Rangers lose. They fall to the Minnesota Wild by a score of 5-2. You could Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, at the Bleed Blue Show. You could download all the episodes for the Bleed Blue Show on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps for your smartphone, and electronic devices. Let's get right into the game. New York Rangers fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild, and it was kind of a little bit of a quirky Wild game in itself. So we expected Anton Ronti to play the goalie position tonight in relief of Lundqvist, knowing they had the back-to-back games tonight at Minnesota and subsequently to the Winnipeg Jets, which will be on Friday. However, things happened about 6 minutes left in the period where Ranta gets hit in the head or face or whatever you want to look at it by a puck on the slap shot, and he leaves the game. And Henrik Lundqvist, who pretty much was was trying to chill, taking the night off, probably didn't prepare as he may have wanted to. Looked sluggish, looked a little, he had some good saves here and there, but wasn't really fully engaged in the game as the Wild pretty much took advantage in the later periods. The Rangers lose 5-2. Not the end of the world for the Rangers, I don't believe. Now, I'll probably say a little bit later here on this podcast on the Rink, but there's a lot of Rangers fans ready to about to jump off the edge. I mean, we just came off the win versus Edmonton. You had the win prior a couple games before that versus the Ottawa Senators. I know there's a couple of losses you want to shake off, especially on that West Coast trip with Calgary and Vancouver, but it's definitely not the end of the world, Rangers fans. It's really not the end of the world at all. Because that's what I think out of all the teams, Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, I think when they lose, they'd be really, really ready to jump off the bridge. They really are. But I really don't see it that way at all. It was just a game that just got out of hand. We made it competitive at the end of the second period thanks to the fourth line by Dom Moore, Tanner Glass, and Emerson Eaton. But it just didn't fall the Rangers' way tonight, and especially a reliable penalty kill that's been pretty much consistent all season per se. Didn't do his job tonight, and it happened. So Minnesota, who's actually coming into this game on a good point streak, I'd say the last 9 to 10 games, at least getting at least 1 point in the last 9 contests. So they've been playing better hockey, and they upped their record to 17 wins and 7 losses on the season. And the Rangers, who really started off this season very scorching hot with a double-digit win streak at 1 point, they've been herky-jerky. They've been up and down, but they had key wins versus like Edmonton in the last week. So the Rangers should be fine. Here on this platform, the Bluey Blue Show, the Rangers is the most stable team in this era outside of the four teams. So when you look at this game, let's talk about the departure of Jared Staal, who was let go by the Rangers. And ironically, the team that we happened to play tonight, the Minnesota Wild, claimed them off waivers tonight. He actually got to play a little bit of the game tonight. So neither here or there, he was pretty much not a non-factor per se. Before I even get more into the game, I just want to look at it like this. Let's look at this optimistically, okay? You had a game where your backup goalie, who's playing in relief, you pretty much got to stay the course knowing that you're going to play tomorrow night in Winnipeg, and Henrik, who's probably going to play a lot better than he did tonight in Minnesota. He comes in, he gets in the game, and he gets that Marco Sandella slap shot, he clocked him right in the mask. So Henrik, who is probably one of the not just the best goalie, but just also preparation, I don't even think he saw this coming. Maybe in a game where you get blown out, you're getting blown out, and you need to get back into the game, you may have to get a goalie's change because you're giving up bad goals, but not after a situation like this. That, this typically doesn't happen like that with the backup goalie when the starter comes back in his position. But neither here or there. So I'll try to get back on that focus with Henrik on how he sees this game, probably preparation for tomorrow night's game versus Winnipeg. But then you go to the fact with, let's say, the other current injuries. Now, I know there's Stepan. He's been practicing. He's been skating, getting back. He's pretty much day-to-day now, right now, with the ribs. And it's good to get him back soon because as up and down and kind of inconsistent the way the Rangers have been the last, I don't know, month since he's been out, whatever, it's going to be good news to get him back. It really is. Then also, Kevin Klein with the oblique injury, what he had, i.e. the muscle strain, whatever you want to call it. He's pretty much almost day-to-day, too. So when to get him back, it's going to be, we'll see what happens. And, of course, Dan Girardi, who didn't even make the trip. So he, you have Ryan McDonough appearing with Dylan, however you want to say it, McAkriff, tonight. So once you get some of these guys back, and it's pretty much soon enough, we should see how this goes. So I thought Minnesota, they took advantage in certain spots with their speed, caught the Rangers sleeping for their goals or breakaways, however you want to look at it. Cruising to a good 5-2 win for them. And the Rangers, I would say it's the end of the world, because I thought the Rangers early on, they had an opportunity to set the tone in this game with Keith Fiendl getting the penalty shot, because he had the little breakaway and he got tripped up. And I thought on his power play attempt, not power play attempt, his penalty shot attempt, he was not able to convert that shot. I think he kind of hesitated, thought about going 5-hole on the goalie, but was not able to capitalize on that. But then the captain, Mikko Koivu for the Minnesota Wild, I thought he played a phenomenal game tonight. He even actually had the extra insurance goal at the end of the game. He's been playing well as of late. He got his the first goal of the game, well, for himself, pretty much on a little over halfway through the first period, taking the Minnesota Wild up to a 1-0 lead. And then I thought the Rangers had some opportunities right after Minnesota had got on the board. And they, the JT Miller situation, the scenario, the sequence over the middle. There was a deflection over the middle, and he had opportunity to cash in, but it just cleared the ice and was not able to there. I think his body was out of position to take an adequate shot, put a nice good shot on goal, but wasn't really there. I say about a little later, deep into the first period, there was that situation where Minnesota had a wide open net. There was a shot that had carrying off the board, and for whatever reason, Nino Niederreiter, who played a decent game tonight, had a penalty, but he had a couple of assists. He had a wide open opportunity for the Wild to even put the Wild up 2-0 on the Rangers. And the Rangers were fortunate to get out of that situation, not being downed by a two-goal deficit in the first period at the time. Minnesota, who went on a power play because of the Mark Stahl tripping. You could say that Kevin Hayes tried to set up Mark with a pass, a nice little pass, but the pass was kind of off, and Mark Stahl had to fight off the defender, try to get to the puck, but it was kind of a questionable call. And I think with Kevin Hayes trying to create over the middle, it was really a rough situation for Mark Stahl. Mark Stahl was called for the tripping penalty, but they didn't really turn anything into that. And then with Zuccarello, Nash, Brassard has been very excellent. And I'll get to that next week on the top 10 KGYR players. They definitely made the cut, and I'll tell you why. when it gets to that episode. But Zuccarello, who wasn't a really much of a factor tonight, but he made plays where he's trying to still be some sort of make some sort of impact, especially in the neutral zone. His stick handling abilities, the way to create space, his size, his stature is kind of unique, and I thought he showed a lot of control between the blue lines tonight. But the story of the game with in the first period with Lundqvist coming into the game for Ransa getting clocked outside of overside his mask. So the Rangers, the game really picked up in the second period. I thought the game picked up also with the Rangers giving a lot of opportunities early on, with increasing their shots on goals. I know Minnesota narrowed that gap with good quality shots as well. They did control the tempo. I thought the Rangers controlled the tempo in the second period. They're always in the Minnesota zone. They were good with the forecheck tonight. Like I said early on, hats off to the fourth line. Let's see, Tanner Glass, who almost had a goal tonight. As hard as for me to say that. But his hits tonight, they did a lot of the hitting. They had a majority of the shots on goal in the second period. Don Moore, who actually cashed in with about, 8 seconds left in the second period, something like that. With a 2-0 lead, make it 2-1. I thought they played well tonight, talking about the fourth line. Now, Lundqvist, as sluggish as he did look, he did have some good saves tonight. He definitely did. In Lundqvist fashion, that's what he does. I just think he wasn't as prepared as he would have been if he would have been his regular start. He made an excellent save. There was one save he had made, a good glove save, like a reflex save, halfway through the second period. It was kind of like the Minnesota was attacking with a couple of guys with an Amon Rush, and he did some, kind of his cat-like reflexes. He did it like a sudden reaction, and it was beautiful to get, beautiful to watch at that time. It was just spectacular. So I know Oscar Lindberg, who got tripped on by Jarrett Stahl, and New York Rangers had their power play opportunity. Rangers, who been pretty good with the power play this year. They're like a top 10 team. I believe they're around 6th or 7th going into this game tonight. And I thought that was an area they probably would have had an advantage on if they had more of those opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net, because Minnesota is pretty much bottom of the league in penalty kill. And I thought the the funny thing about this, or ironic thing about the penalty kill for the Minnesota Wild, is they turned that kill into opportunities. They were real opportunistic on the Rangers' power play, capitalizing off of turnovers and putting pressure on Lundqvist and putting pressure on the defense. So it was there was a lot of breathtaking sequence in the second period. You had a shot. You had a shot on goal by Kevin Hayes, and then you also had the puck just stay in the crease where the puck should have just went in. There was that shot on goal from the right wing, from the right wing position, to put the puck in the back of the net, but for whatever reason, the puck did not go in the net. I don't know what happened. I don't know how. I don't know. Understand. I don't understand those physics, but the Rangers should have tied that game up due to physics or lack of physics thereof. And it's something that just did not make sense, and the defensemen for the Wild were able to clear the puck. But Minnesota goes up for that 2-0 lead with that Matt Dumba power play goal, and it was set up by Niedermeyer. Pretty much coming off that the hooking. Now, Dan Boyle, man, you're really starting to piss off these Rangers fans, man. You got to pick up your play, man. I know you've been around. You're a veteran at this. But the hooking with about a little over 4 minutes to left in that second period, you really are getting on these Rangers fans' nerves, man. You really are. And Matt Dumba was he was able to capitalize off of that power play goal, making it to 2-0, like I said earlier, with pretty much under 10 seconds left in the period where Minnesota's crowd was getting into the game, and the fourth line came through, who played an excellent second period, and Don Moore put a nice shot on goal to beat the Wild's goalie Denver for a 2-1 second period deficit. So we're pretty much on to the third period. I thought the Rangers, because of that goal by Don Moore, I thought there was a lot of chance to, you had a lot of 20 minutes to get back into this game. Even down 2-1, the shots to go at that point was not as big a deficit as it was on early on in the period, because Minnesota really turned it up a notch. I say the last 3/4 of that second period, they outshot the Rangers at least 15-9 for the total in that second period. They really put the pressure on. Their crowd got into it, but that goal by Moore really silenced that crowd. It really did. It gave the Rangers a little bit of hope, I thought, and even the fans were kind of reactive to that too, man. So for the third period, there was a lot of the shot on goal about 3 minutes over into the third period. There was a couple of sequences where I thought Kreider kind of wasted a couple of pushes. He kind of goes out and does his own thing. I mean, he's lightning fast. He's a great skater, but sometimes it could be a little out of control. He tried to set up that JT Miller shot, and wasn't able to execute pass. Just not in the right position to set up your players. That's the first thing I noticed about what Kreider and Miller trying to lock in tonight. They were just not on the same page. And then with Brady Skay coming over, playing defenseman, and I'll get to him when it came his debut in the Edmonton game. But he got caught with the holding behind the net on Carter for the Minnesota Wild. And I thought he was in a no man's position. I thought he was behind Lundqvist. And with Chris Porter just fighting him off, trying to get a good position, trying to get in front of him, he ends up holding him. He ends up drawing the penalty. So with the Rangers down 2-1 at that point, I thought that fighting with him behind the net, it really costed him, because it's seconds into that power play by Minnesota, Jason Palmerville, who leaked behind McAlriff and Ryan McDonough for that 3-1 lead, that power play goal. The defensemen, they were not on the same page, because, you know, we all know the captain, Ryan McDonough, and Dan Girardi, they're the defensive pairings. They're your normal guys. They're usually the ones who are paired with each other, and I think there was a miscommunication with that. They just allowed Palmerville to get past McAuliffe, and then also McDonough, who was just not there. It was just a missed assignment, and that pretty much. I think at that point, you could say 3-1. The Rangers were still somewhat in it, but the chances are it was closing in real fast at that point. It was closing in real fast, but the Rangers down 3-1, and pretty much seconds into the right after the faceoff, half the period, about a little minute over 9.5 minutes remaining in the period. Chris Porter, who actually drew the penalty on Brady, he ended up getting the goal off the shoulder of Lundqvist. I don't even know how that even went in. Chris Porter put that shot on goal against Henrik Lundqvist. And for whatever reason, that shot went off his shoulder, and I thought the puck would have deflected and went to the side or the back of the net. But I think Lundqvist, he didn't anticipate the shot going off his shoulder to go into the net. I think it caught him off guard. I think that's the thing I was talking about as far as being sluggish, wasn't really prepared for tonight's game, because as you wouldn't, he had the night off because of the goal, but neither here nor there. I think because of that, being down 4-1, and it was pretty much 9 minutes left in the game. I mean, there was still some fight left. There was some still a lot of game left. The Rangers had a power play opportunity because Niederreiter had the interference behind the net with Henrik Lundqvist. And at that point, being down 4-1, the Rangers had to get something going. They had to get something going. They weren't able to get the power play goal at that point because Minnesota killed off that penalty. Ryan McDonagh, about 4 or 5 minutes later, was able to get a goal off a slap shot set up by JT Miller, which was a good play. Ryan McDonagh got his 5th goal of the year after a good forecheck setting up that nice play, that nice assist, the JT Miller finding McDonagh for on the right side to get a shot pass and get it on goal, beating the goalie, making it a 4-2 lead. But with 3 minutes left in the period, you had the Zach Parise, who played a good game tonight for the Minnesota Wild. He right off the faceoff, he put in a great pressure shot on goal breakaway, but Lundqvist was able to save that. And then the next sequence, right after that, Ryan Suter for the Minnesota Wild did the same thing. Another shot on goal attempt. I mean, they were coming in waves tonight. And it's a team that I think the Rangers kind of slept on tonight, honestly. But anyway, while whatever the Rangers did tonight, they came back in waves, and they did it well, man. They sure did. So, but the nail in the coffin was the goal by Koivu, who got his second goal of the game, the captain for the Minnesota Wild. Pretty much with a little over 2 minutes left in the game, and that was all she did. And there was a couple of scuffles, a little bit of nothing serious towards the end of the game. The Rangers lose 5-2, so it's going to be on Winnipeg, and it was pretty much coming after the game beating Edmonton the other night at the Garden. So it was a weird game, a real tricky game. You had your backup goalie gets knocked out. Your starting goalie looks kind of sluggish, made some good saves here and there, out of position on some stuff. But Minnesota was ready to play. They took it. They played the game like they wanted it. They played the game like they took it. And because of that, they got the 2 points. And the Rangers, they got to bounce back, and in which they probably could versus a decent Winnipeg team. We shall see how that goes, because Rangers have been kind of up and down since their hot start of the season. I would say fall back, but right now I think they're still third in the conference right now, because I know Washington, who has been playing very good hockey, in which they got to play after Winnipeg. They got to go back to the Garden and play them, and got to play Anaheim. It's not going to be an easy 3 games this stretch, especially the way the Rangers play. I think I would be more comfortable if the Rangers were playing with a full deck. Like, for instance, let's say a guy like Stepan is back for that game. I don't know if AV is going to allow Stepan to be back for that Washington Capitals game. I don't expect him to play for the Winnipeg Jets game. But maybe the comeback game versus Washington, or maybe Anaheim, I don't know. Maybe the same thing for Klein and Girardi, I don't know. We shall see. I thought the Rangers didn't have the opportunities as much as Minnesota did. And I think what happened, the carryover with losing 3 in a row, they had those losses in Canada, Western Canada, Calgary, the Edmonton game, and Vancouver. They're trying to get that back, man. Now they got to go back to Winnipeg, kind of almost, and Manitoba, whatever that place is, where Winnipeg plays. They got a tough stretch, man. Got a real tough stretch. I'm anxious to see what they're going to do in back-to-back nights. And I think it was kind of clutch, kind of key to get that win versus the Oilers. To really stop that bleeding off the road losing streak. And I was hoping that would continue against Minnesota. That's a lot of flying the Rangers have done. You think about it, going way over to Western Canada just to come back to the Garden, just to fly back to Minnesota and go back to Winnipeg, then go back to the Garden. That's a lot of flying. That's a lot of mileage for this team in the last week. And Lundqvist wasn't all spectacular. Had the 27 saves tonight, and Dubnyk had pretty much gave up the two goals, but he had 21 saves tonight. And other than that, you know, what really stuck out with me with the Rangers, with the time on the ice, McDonough played a lot of ice time tonight. He normally logs in around like 21, 22 minutes. He actually plus two on that tonight. I thought Oscar Lindberg didn't get enough time on the ice tonight. I think AV saw that the third line wasn't as effective, and he mixed it in with the fourth. Allowing the fourth line, who were controlling some of that pace, especially in the second period. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens when they bounce back. I thought JT Miller had a couple of shots. He was all right. Don Moore with three shots on goal tonight, especially one with the goal. I wish Yandel would have gotten that penalty shot to convert. I thought it was a great opportunity for him to set the pace. But as far as the penalties, McAlriff with the interference, and then, of course, Dan Boyle with the hooking, I think that really hurt the Rangers tonight. I think that power play goal, W had scored, and they were on their way. And the Rangers was pretty much trying to find inspirational goals to get back in it. But I don't think their body language was in it the way as it should. I don't think that was the case, man. Other than that, let me see. What I want to take from the game. I thought, you know, the Rangers have been putting up a lot of goals. So I just think they just need to tighten up on their defense, especially. They've been scoring. They just got to stop some people, man. They just definitely do. I really like the play over the last several games, especially with Matt Zuccarello. Matt Zuccarello, who really took charge in that Edmonton game. I'm glad that he's back. And he's looking good. And he's probably been the most effective Ranger that we have this season as far as from total points. But the Rangers didn't get the adequate power play opportunities. I would hope in an average game, I would hope for three a game, maybe one each period, depending on the opponent, depending on the skills that you're going up against. They probably could up it to 4 to 5, but they only got two power play opportunities tonight. Didn't get a lot of the breakaways tonight. I think Minnesota played a good job playing that neutral line, making sure that the Rangers didn't play their game, that outbreak, fast break type of hockey that the Rangers are accustomed to. I thought the head coach for the Minnesota Wild, Mike Yeo, outcoached Alain Vigneault tonight. I thought he knew what the Rangers were bringing to the table, and they neutralized their speed. They neutralized their outbreaks by playing disciplined hockey tonight. And I think that's what it really came down to, because the Rangers weren't really, really looking comfortable. They kind of stayed the course of just trying to just stay alive. And that's pretty much what she wrote when it came to that game. So you pretty much know Koivu is going to get the three stars tonight for as far as the top player for the game tonight. I would say also that the Rangers, they definitely were more of the physical team. I think I would say that they definitely out-hit Minnesota from what I can remember, especially with the fourth line, the third line of the Rangers. I mean, that defensively is just showing that a physical presence, they were definitely involved. But what really killed them was just not enough block shots. The Minnesota Wild just pretty much put them to sleep with like almost double digit advantage on the shots. So I don't know. We got to move on, man. We got to play better hockey. Can't allow take mental breaks. And you know, I kind of anticipated that to a degree. I kind of saw that there may be some stretches before Christmas that the Rangers would cool down, and I think we're seeing that. And I'm not going to overreact. I think because of that long winning streak in the beginning kind of offsets what we're doing right now with these bad or terrible losses, especially to these Canadian teams. Mark Staud, I thought, had a bad night tonight. Plenty of ice time, not effective enough, and like I said, not able to take on that Hayes pass. It was set up a penalty by him. But I think a lot of that has, you know, more of the Rangers getting more of their guns back. We get some guys back. I think we'll be fine, man. I think we'll definitely be fine. And let's on to the next one, man. As we said on here on the Bleed Blue Show, just keep the pace, get a good playoff seed. Washington, who's been playing phenomenal hockey, and of course the Islanders have been playing very well as well, and pretty much gotten a better record than the Rangers, or right behind the Rangers, as a matter of fact, in the division. It's a very competitive division too, man. Even so competitive that a team like Pittsburgh, who had a lot of injury history last year, they're out, actually on the outside looking in. I know it's early, but you got teams ahead of them like Washington and the Islanders and Rangers. Philly is trying to be a little bit more competitive this year. You know, you're going to get a little something on a jersey. And I thought, Boston's played well too. And I always say this. I think Boston always, if they keep their head on straight, I've always thought that the Boston Bruins was a very solid team. I think that has not gone away with them. I thought that's something that has not deflect with them, man. So I would think gonna keep it pacing with the New York Rangers. It's all right, Rangers fans. Do not jump off a bridge, man. When the guys get back from injury, things will be fine, because we're going to be here on this Bleed Blue Show. We're going to talk it out. We're going to make some sense of this when the Lions get back intact, because the first line, you already know we're going to get out of Nash, Broussard, and Zuccarello. But once Stepan gets back, he's going to get back down there. JT probably is going to, or actually Jesper Fast, maybe go back down to the third line, and just Stepan goes back to his natural center position. And the shuffling, maybe Chris Kreider gets back on track once Derek Stepan returns to the lineup. And we should go with that, man. We should definitely go with that. If there is anything else to add, I want to see along what's going on around the NHL. The Dallas Stars have been playing well also. I like their game. Minnesota has been playing well. Like I said, you know, still on a point streak, winning a lot of their games. One team that is pretty much, I would say, back from the dead, but one team that's actually been playing well and it's also a threat, and it's a West Coast team. The LA Kings have been playing very well as well, man. I think they have done a good job in that Pacific Division out there on the West Coast. It's a lot of big market teams too, man. You're talking about Dallas, D.C., the Montreals, the two teams in New York, the Rangers, Islanders, Beantown, Chicago. I mean, there's a lot of big market teams that's actually playing well. And then, of course, smaller markets like Minnesota showing up and beating the Rangers the way they did, but getting the 2 points. It's real good, man, because Dallas is just putting up a lot of points, man. I mean, they're scoring at will, man. I mean, they got a lot of the regular season overtime wins. They're leading that pack. And then, of course, they got well over 100 goals up through 31 games. Man, that's a lot of goals, man. They're doing their thing, man. And I would like to see how that matchup would go if we had to, you know, go there to play them in Dallas. And the other Rangers news, I think what I saw, they're going to play the Winter Classic with Maple Leafs next year. And I think that's a game I definitely have to check that out, man. I want to get to one of those Winter Classics. Didn't have the opportunity to see the one when they were here in New York. But that's definitely not bad on that. I want to see how that goes. But thank goodness for the win earlier in the week to kind of stop the bleeding somewhat. The Rangers, we'll just keep it trucking. We'll definitely keep it trucking. We're going to have a lot of these more of these Blues Day recaps or the Rink podcast with the New York Rangers with these post-game shows. Keep tabs on the squad. And we'll go from there. Now, in a week, we'll have the top 10 KGYR players. You're going to see a lot of New York Rangers on that list. It's going to be updated. It's going to be a more complete list, more up-to-date with the three sports, with the hockey, with the football, and the basketball right now in session. And right now the baseball is kind of idle right now. So we're going to have a new list for the KGYR. The Rangers are going to dominate that list. I promise you that. I think we had that podcast with Chris and we introduced that list. And then, of course, at the end of the year with the top 10 KGYR championship teams of all time, or top 10 dominant KGYR teams of all time. So that will conclude New York Rangers podcast postgame. Lose to the Minnesota Wild by a score of 5-2. The Rangers pretty much outplayed tonight, outscored tonight, outclassed tonight. And the Rangers, we got to see it on the stats of the backup goalie and Ranta. And, of course, we'll see how Henrik Lundqvist does at Winnipeg. And, of course, the Capitals game Sunday. That's going to be Sunday night game at the Garden. I'm definitely going to be watching that, especially after a full day of football. We'll see what the Rangers do at the Garden. And check out the all the episodes of the Bleed Blue Show. You could download all the episodes, okay? You could download all the episodes. iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn app, and Stitcher. You got four ways to do it, or you could go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast. You could stream if you're at work or you're on the subway, you're probably stuck in traffic. Go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast and stream the show live right from the website. Or audio archives right from the website, or whether you have the live shows on any of the teams or any of this podcast series, if you want to listen in or speak live, depending on if it's the post-game shows or if it's just listening in on a fan podcast series, right from BleedBlueShow.com, at the BTR link at the top of the webpage. And, you know, follow the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, be a part of that for the discussions. The Knickerbocker ad page for the Knicks. If you're a Knicks fan, if you're a New York Yankees fan, New York Yankees Talk with Kenny D, you can join that page right there. We'll have the Rink Podcast page soon for you guys. We'll have that going. And, of course, the Giants, man. You find us in 1,000 Giants groups discussing New York football Giants. So to have that. So KGYR, New York Rangers lose. Well, the boys are going to bounce back. If there's ever a team right now in this regime I'm not worried about, it's definitely not the New York Rangers. But you can tell by some of the New York Rangers fans. Shout out to the Rangers fans on social media and Rangers fans at these games. I mean, there were some of these guys are really about to jump off the ledge. I don't think it's that serious. So, I think Brady Sajay, the 14 minutes of ice time in the Edmonton debut, he had a little rough one tonight versus the Minnesota Wild, but rocking that number 76. I like that jersey, man. I really do. But he'll be fine. We're out of time, man. I gotta go. So check out the audio, all the audio archives, man. Live shows, and tell a friend about the Bleed Blue Show. Tell a friend. It's all fan friendly, man. None of that fluff, none of that BS articles. Then that tweet crap, if you want something to listen to here, man, you just go right here to the Bleed Blue Show. We got you for the Rangers and all the other squads that we root for. Other than that, man, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you?